If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We'll can try to finish chapter 2 tonight. Matter of fact, we will finish chapter 2 tonight. Well, I'm a-fixin' to finish chapter 2 tonight. Only four verses left. I just can't seem to get to it. All right, well, let's read here starting in verse, we'll start in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And we've talked about the barrier, we've talked about peace and so forth. And really what we want to do is we want to pick up here in verse 17 and start looking at that. But again, you know, again, like I said, we've been talking about sin. The sin is what separated man from God. And also it talked about the law. The law was another thing that separated man from God. It's interesting, they couldn't keep the law in the Old Testament. It was there to show them that they needed a Savior. It was a tutor. The Bible tells us that the law was a tutor. But again, in verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the barrier or the sin that separated God from man. And then he goes, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make him in himself of two or twain, one new man making peace. So he abolished that barrier. Praise the Lord. You know, the blessings of Abraham, he did away with the curse of the law. You know, Galatians talks about the curse of the law. It says Jesus became a curse for us. And so, but you know, it's interesting. He did away with the curse of the law, but he never did away with the blessings of the law. The blessings still belong to us today. Deuteronomy chapter 28 lists all the blessings. Now, as long as we are obedient to God, as long as we walk in what the New Testament is telling us to do, you know, actually we can sum it up in just one word. As long as we walk in love, we'll be blessed. Because if we walk in love, we'll give, we'll love people, we'll help people, we'll speak right. You know, matter of fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a minute. Maybe I'm not going to get finished tonight. I don't know. It says in here, starting in verse 4, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. That tells me, you know what that tells me? That tells me there's people out there doing stuff just for show. You know, they give to the poor. And it always seems as we get near the holidays, people get like a soft heart. And they want to help all the downtrodden and so forth. But, you know, what about the other 11 months out of the year when all that stuff's going on, you know? And I'm saying that God wants to bless us. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But you know what? The Bible says we can become a law unto ourselves. And even though we're redeemed from the curse of the law, the price has been paid for the curses. There are Christians walking around that, if you look at them in the natural, they look like they're cursed. Amen? We have been redeemed. I thank God the blessings are still intact for me. And I thank God that Jesus became a curse for me. But you know what? The Bible tells us we need to walk in love. He says in Romans chapter 5, he says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So when somebody tells me, you know what, I just can't take that person, I can't stand that person, get a grip, man. Because you're not walking in love, whether you like it or not. Maybe somebody needs to tell you, you're not walking in love. Because either you're a liar or God's a liar. And I don't want to, I love y'all, but and I appreciate what everybody did Sunday, but I'm going with God. And the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. The agape love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And he says over here, he says, love suffers long. And I'm not going to read it out of the Amplified. I'll read it out of the New King James. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I mean, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Maybe I will read it out of Amplified, because it'll amplify it for you just a little bit. Amen. And I guess I'm going to get done with it tonight, though, honest. Get back there. Glory to God. Okay. Here we go. Verse 3, Amplified Bible. They probably got it up. Do we have the Amplified in there? Do we? Yeah, okay. It says, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. I want to repeat that one again. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And I say that simply because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And one of the ways to have the blessings come showering on you is to walk in love. Brother Hagin, if anything I could remember about Brother Hagin, the man didn't talk much. I mean, some days he'd sit down and talk your ear off about the things of God. The Word of God, that's all you ever heard him. If he got into a rap about talking, it would be about the Word of God. Otherwise, he never said nothing. And the man never came against anyone who's ever come against him in his ministry when he was on this earth. Never, ever, ever. And I've been around him, been with him, have had dinner with him, and never, ever heard him talk about anybody. And if you tried to pump him, he would ignore you. And so people say, why are these guys blessed? Because they've learned a big secret, man. Kenneth Copeland is the same way. Oral Roberts is the same way. These guys, man, they don't, They really do not talk about anybody. Jesse Duplantis, I mean, you know, he's going to be here and everything, and I've been out to dinner. I've been been out to dinner with him a lot of times, and you know, Jesse will talk about Jesse, you know, and everything he's got, but he don't be talking about people ever. Ever. I never heard him talk about anybody. You know, ask him about a minister, and he just changed the subject. And so God can bless us when we learn to do that. So, you know, if you're not walking into blessings, maybe, you know, we just need to check our love walk sometimes. I got to check it every day. You know, you think you've arrived? I don't think so. I have to check it every day. There's some people I just want to knock the snot out of. It's because they're ugly looking. They deserve a beating. You know, Sterling stayed over Sunday night, Monday night, so we were hanging out together. Sterling Hudgens is my best friend. People don't realize that, but he is like my best friend. I mean, it don't matter. I mean, we'll meet and go to meetings like, and stuff like that. And we start talking about, not talking, but we'll start saying, you know, what about so-and-so? And we just look at each other and say, you know what, we better shut up before it comes back on us. We don't want to do that. Can you say amen? All right, praise the Lord. So I just wanted to bring that out. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus was a curse for us. All right, and then he says here, we talked about peace. You know, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So the cross was the fulfillment of the law. Jesus fulfilled this sacrificial part. He went to the cross, and he fulfilled all the ordinances. So now we come down to verse 17. All right, praise God, and I'm going to try to get through it real quick. And he came and preached peace. A word, peace, reconciliation to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Or the New King James Version says it this way. He says, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. But for through him, well, who's through him? Those that were afar off and those that were near. It said he preached peace. Well, he preached reconciliation. He preached salvation. Are you listening to me? Now, here's the interesting part as I was looking at this. You know, the two that it talks about are those, the ones he's talking about here in verse 17 are the two in verse 15, where he says that there were two and they were far off. So you which were, those that were far off were who? The Gentiles. Those that were near were the Jews. And as I was reading this today, I was looking at this and I'm like scratching my head and, the Jews were said to be near because of all the provisions they had under the Old Testament. God favored the Jews. He favored the nation of people. He gave them more revelation than anyone else. The Gentiles, or the nations, with those that were afar off. And as I was reading that, those that were near and those that were far off. Well, it really don't matter if you're near or far off. If you ain't in, you're out. Are you listening to me? That's revelation. You'll get that in about an hour. He preached those that were far off and those that were near. Well, you think the ones that were nearer had it better? No. If you're not in, then you're out. And that's what he's saying here. It took Jesus, even though the reason they were called near, it was because they had all the provisions of God. They were favored by God, but yet they weren't in the kingdom of God. All right, praise God. I'm glad you like that. See, the new birth will save a Gentile, and the new birth will save a Jew just the same. Just the same. And we both come in the same way, by one Spirit, as it says here in verse 18, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So the whole thing comes from the fact that, yeah, they were near, but yeah, just because they were near don't mean they were in. You know, and just because we're far off, aren't you glad Jesus, the cross is what brought us together. The cross is what brought us in to the kingdom of God. The salvation, the reconciliation. And as you read the next verse here, next two verses, 19 and 20, it says, now therefore you are no longer foreigners, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So, you know, after the new birth, the Jews and the Gentiles are now fellow citizens. Amen. We are all from one city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. You know, whose builder and maker is God. You know, when Abraham went on his little trip, we kind of said, well, he was going to the promised land. Yeah, he was. But it says that he was going to a place whose builder and maker was God. And that's heaven. All right? That's who the builder and maker is. And so we are all, from both Jews and Gentiles, of the household of God. We are all members of the same family. And we can claim God as our Father. You know, the foundation of Christ is built really upon the Old Testament. And also, you know, people kind of say, well, you know, man, I don't read the Old Testament anymore. Well, what we need to know, there's nothing wrong with the Old Testament, okay? I had a friend of mine, I'm trying to think how he said it. He says, usually you'll find something in a lot of things in the Old Testament are not relevant for us today, okay? But things that you could trace through the Old Testament and into the New Testament are relative for us today. Healing, you can be traced from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So that means healing is for us today. I don't want people to say I talk about money too much, okay? But thank you, Frank. I really appreciate that. Frank says tithing. Okay. But it's true. You know, it's in the Old Testament, but there are some things that are not pertinent for us. So, you know, nothing wrong with the Old Testament. The New Testament really illuminates the Old Testament. You know, I've heard it said, and I'm sure maybe you've heard it said also, that Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Praise the Lord. There was a break, and that break was the cross of Jesus Christ between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? But we have as much right to the blessings of Abraham as the Jews do, because we are part of the household of God. We still have the benefits. We get the benefits just like they did. That's what Galatians talks about. Let's turn over there real quick. Look at Galatians. Let's turn back and look at Galatians, okay? You know, it says that Jesus was the seed of Abraham, right? As we look down here, he said, I got to find it, what I want to read. What purpose? It says, what purpose does the law, verse 19, serve? It was added because of the transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through the angels and by the hand of a mediator. And it goes on and it talks about it. And it talks about, he's not talking about seeds. Up in the, before that, verse 16, now Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, it does not say, and to seeds as many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So Jesus was the seed. Follow my thought pattern here. Jesus was the seed. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was buried in the ground. What do you do with seeds? You bury them. What do seeds do? Make a crop. So we're, Jesus is the seed, and we are the seeds. Now let's drop down to the last verse here, verse 24. It says, therefore, the Lord was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that white, that's not the one, I'm wrong verse, sorry. Verse, starting in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what's that tell us? When Jesus went in the ground, a bunch of seeds came up. We're in Christ, therefore all the blessings of Abraham belong to us. He took that. Just as much as it belonged to the Jews, it belongs to us. All the promises in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28 belong to us. The promise in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that says that he wants to bless us so we could establish his covenant in the earth, it belongs to us. He wants to give us goodly houses. He wants to give us large crops. He wants to bless us. Just like he wanted to bless the Jews, it belongs to us because we're in Christ. And in case you didn't know it, Jesus was a Jew. Can you say amen? So it belongs to us. And when people try to talk you out of it, just tell them, shut up. You can't tell them anything else. With love. You know, no is not a bad word. All right. So as it goes on to tell us that, you know, we are all built on the same foundation. It says, and are built on the, verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So it's telling us that we're all, the Jews and the Gentiles, are built on the same foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Well, the foundation, really, Jesus is the cornerstone. The foundation is the Old Testament prophets. It's the apostles and the prophets. Isaiah is not only the foundation for the Jews. He's the foundation for us. But for the Gentile, if we're born again, we have the same foundation. You know, Jeremiah, David, Daniel, Hosea, all the rest of the Old Testament, they have just as much to say to me as they did to the Jews. And so, in the foundation, Jesus Christ is what? The chief cornerstone or the coping stone. And you know what a cornerstone is, don't you? Anybody don't know what a cornerstone is? You know, when they put the foundation in, and really what you have, two walls coming together, and they put a cornerstone in there. Well, the two walls were the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And Jesus joins them together. The foundation, the stone. What joins, actually it's the Old Covenant and New Covenant, but what joins them together is Jesus. He brings us together. You know, I want to share something with you. How many have ever heard of Sid Roth? Many, many years ago, when I was in Bible school, I met Sid Roth. Went out to, not to dinner with him, but he was in some, he taught one of our classes, an evangelism class actually, for a couple of days. And then Brother Hagin was having some meetings, and we would go out at night. And we'd have coffee, and this girl was from New York, and she was friends with him, so we all went to coffee and got to meet him. And I'll never forget, he said, you know what the problem with the Gentiles are? They think the Jews know the Bible. He says, I am telling you right now, they know absolutely nothing about the Word of God. They know nothing about the Old Testament. They own nothing about the five books of the Bible. I'm talking about, you know, there are some that do, but I'm talking about your basic, everyday people you run across on the street that, you know what, you think, wow, man, they're, you know, how am I going to talk to them about Isaiah? They don't even know who Isaiah is. Unless he's a bank president. Okay, there you go. But, and anyway, so when you think about it, Jesus pulls the two together. We should never be like intimidated to go tell people about Jesus. They just don't know about him. They think they do, but they don't. Anyway, the work of the cross went back into time, but it also went forward. All right? It went back and it went forward. The Old Testament saints were counted as righteous. You know, by looking forward to what was to come. An example would be kind of Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Well, what was he doing? He was looking forward to when Jesus came. So in his mind, long before Jesus came, he says, we are healed. And you come over to 1 Peter, and he says, by his stripes we were healed. So the whole thing centers around Jesus, the chief cornerstone. And when we look to him, if we're part of the old covenant, which the Jews are, we are healed. If we're us and we look back to the cross, we were healed. Let's make a good sermon, you know. We are. So it looks back, you know, it looks forward, it looks back. It says we're living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You know, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Now we're all stones. Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. You know, and I know a lot of people come into the Catholic background, you know, the rock was Peter. I don't think so, okay? But the rock was the revelation that Peter had of who Jesus was. So that made Jesus a stone, a living stone. He wrote 1 Peter too, didn't he? Isn't that, there's a thought for you, okay? He was the rock, the revelation, and he writes 1 Peter, and he says, we're a living stone. When we get saved and we get revelation of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Savior, we become a living stone. Ever growing, being shaped, being molded. Because we're building up a habitation for the Holy Ghost. A temple, if you will. excuse me. Verse 21, back over here to Ephesians, says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, what was my spot here? Oh, got to go in the wrong direction. Glory to God. Stones. A building. 1 Peter chapter 2 says we're living stones. We're built on the foundation of the Old and New Testament apostles and prophets, who of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. We're being built. You know, when they, no cement, there's no cement in the temple. No mortar. It says they were fitly joined together. Ephesians goes on to tell us that we're all joints and ligaments together, moving with one another. And it's interesting if you study how they built the temple and even how they built the pyramids. There was no joint and mortar in the pyramids either. They were so perfect. And here's the interesting thing about the temple. Here's the interesting thing about you. There's a lot of people out there to talk about us and everything else. But let me tell you something. Every day in Acts chapter 2, the church was growing. Believers were being added to the church daily, to the body of Christ. Each day, as living stones fitly joined together into a temple for God. You know, and we're not talking about just the local church. We're talking about the universal church. So God can dwell in his church. Even though we have different personalities, national origins or whatever, we're still joined together through the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, we talk about the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Holy Ghost, and people laugh and run around and have a good time. That's great too. But you know what? The Holy Ghost's job is a whole lot more than that. He's building us. He's shaping us. He's molding us. And you know, when Solomon built his temple in the Old Testament, they didn't even know that they were building the temple. Okay. Because he had everything fashioned and cut in quarries. And when the temple was finally assembled, not a sound was heard. Not a sound. Because each stone, each timber was precision and fit together. I'll read, turn to second, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. Just amazing. You see, each one of us is being built every day. You know, the world today don't understand us. So, and we are an absolute mystery to them. And they'll try to poke fun at you, you know, but they just don't understand the church. They think the church is an organization. And the church isn't an organization. It's a living, breathing body. It's not an organization made up of men trying to do good things around the world. It's made up of living stones. That's every single one of us, a living stone. Did you find it? All right. In the house, verse 7 and 8, 1 Kings chapter 6. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither a hammer nor an axe or any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. You know, I remember when we built this building, everything came prefabbed. They put it up wrong the first time. They had to take it apart and put it back together the right way. But, you know, everything was done far away. Some they brought in on trucks and put it up. Except they had it sloping that way instead of that way. So they had a, and they did it in a day, man. They took it all apart and put it back together again. They were pretty good. But just think about this. That's why, and the reason I'm saying that, that's why the world really don't, I don't know. The world keeps looking for some man-made ecumenical organization made by man. And the true church of Jesus isn't made by man. It's made through revelation knowledge. Every one of us, the chisel of the Holy Ghost working in our lives, shaping us. The searchlight of the Holy Ghost goes through you and you start seeing those dusty places in your heart and you start cleaning them out. Those dusty places in your mind and you start praying and you start saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient in this area. And the whole time you're being shaped and molded. Amen. to be part of that, the temple where God inhabits. You know, in Solomon's day, the temple was built as a habitation of God. Am I right? You know, that's where God dwelt in the temple through the presence of the Holy Ghost, the glory of God. Do you know that each one of you are a container of the glory of God? Some of you got your lid on so tight, though. But you are a container of the glory of God. Every one of us, if we're born again. And as I look around here, to my knowledge, every one of you are born again. And you are a container of the glory of God. And I'm closing, so if you want to start making your way up, you can. All right? But this verse, you know, going back, we're built together. This verse tells us we're built together for a habitation of God. Verse 22 says, for a habitation, a dwelling place for God. When Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. And the moment he said it was finished, the veil in the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And that veil was that thick. It wasn't a little monkey shears, you know. It was, you know, it wasn't something you get like at Target, you know. It was that's Target. It's a French company, so we call it Target. And you could go to Target, Jacques Penney, or Sierra's. I don't care, wherever you want to go. Okay? And shop. But my point is that thing was thick. So it wasn't two little Jewish rabbis at the bottom ripping it. You know what I mean? It was two big angels at the top ripping it. And so it was ripped from the top to the bottom. So the present, God was not going to dwell in buildings anymore. He was building a church made up of precious stones. And the Holy Ghost has taken up residence in each one of us. And we are containers of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. We are the temple. You know, how many's ever been up to Pennsylvania to the, what's that thing up there in Lancaster? The Mennonite replica of the tabernacle. And you know, you go in there and they have the Holy of Holies and they got a little hole in there and you kind of like see the Shekinah glory of God, you know. But the Shekinah glory of God is in us. He moved out of that place. He come into us. We're containers for the glory of God. I mean, Jesus broke down the barrier. He dealt with the sin. He reconciled us back to himself so we could go out and manifest his presence in a lost and dying world. Can you say amen? We are the church. We are the temple. And that verse of scripture gives us the introduction of the Holy Ghost, who we're going to take up in chapter 3. Because if you remember, God comes up with the plan. Chapter 1, Jesus executes the plan, chapter 2. And now the Holy Ghost reveals the plan, chapter 3. Can you say amen? Amen. And we'll pick that up, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet and give God the glory tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We glorify you, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord, we thank you that we're containers of the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God dwells on the inside of us. In every place that we go, the glory of God is being spread throughout this world, Father God, because of your church, your temple. And Father God, I praise you for it, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.